So, last week we started a very short 3-week series called Living in the Sweet Spot. And you might recall that we were in the book of Proverbs. And you might recall that I gave you a reading assignment to read chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs. And I won't ask how many of you took advantage of that or didn't take advantage of that. That's your business. But I hope that you did. And last week we looked at 4 takeaways from the chapter of Proverbs, chapter 30 of Proverbs, that we said that Agar wrote. And I don't know if you did read it. You'll find that Agar is a pretty kind of an interesting fellow in the way that he writes, in the words that he chooses to use, but I find him kind of relatable, which is kind of cool. But anyway, if we're looking back to recap from last week, the first 4 takeaways were: number 1 was, if we explore God's Word, we will find a lot of good rabbit trails. Now, we don't always consider rabbit trails a good thing. Like, you know, if you're in conversation, it's often kind of a negative thing that we got off on a rabbit trail. But in this context, it's kind of a good thing, because in the context of the main subject that we're reading, we find these little cool little nuggets and that speak truth within the context of the greater truth. The second takeaway that we looked at was that if we seek God's purpose, we'll find that we don't need to be famous to make a difference. We don't need a status to make a difference. We don't need to have a certain amount of fame or wealth or anything to make a difference. And then the third takeaway we looked at was to appreciate God's indefinability, as I said. That we never to put God in a box, because he can't be defined and he can't be contained, and that he is beyond our imagination. And then the fourth thing that we looked at, the fourth takeaway from last Sunday, was to ponder God's timeline. To ponder God's timeline. Living in between the first and second coming, I said, it is an exciting place to be, and it should keep us on the edge of our seats. Jesus came once, he's coming back again. We're living in that in-between time, and that should excite us, and that should motivate us, and that should kind of keep us on the edge of our seats, wondering and waiting in anticipation of that day, but also encouraging us to reach as many people as we can, to take them with us when that day finally comes, right? So this morning, I said last week there were 6 takeaways. We looked at the first 4. So this morning, I want to get into takeaways number 5 and 6. Now, we're going to spend most of the time on takeaway number 5, and I think because it's one that has really left us these days. It's one that's almost a foreign concept to us these days, I will say in general terms. In the culture that we live in the environments that we live in, it's one that is kind of has left us. And I think it's one that's taking us further and further down a bad path or a troubling road because of takeaway number 5. Just like the last week in the first 4 takeaways, takeaway number 5 and 6, here's the interesting, they don't really reveal any deep theological truth or any deep theological meaning, really. And maybe that's why I like them so much. They're just good, practical things or reminders of how we ought to live and what we ought to be doing. Agar was just this ordinary man that we can relate to, given prophetic authority by God to speak truth into our lives. That's who Agar was. And like I said, I think that's why we like him so much. And I guess it is going to work after all. So anyway, at the end of Agar's prayer... Let's go back up just a little ways here. Sorry about that. So he's given the authority to speak truth into our lives in a very unique way that allows us to live in this sweet spot that we've been talking about. So he's been given this authority, prophetic authority by God. And so we would do well to heed to these takeaways. Anyway, takeaway number five is this. And the one that I said we've really fallen short on is to affirm God's authority. I think we have completely thrown that aside. In other words, trusting that the Bible is foundational for all believers. It's foundational. It's truth. It shouldn't be added to or taken away. Before we pray, before we do anything, we need to align ourselves with God's Word, first and foremost. If we don't align ourselves with God's Word, then nothing else matters. The prayers are empty. The good deeds are basically of little use if we fail to align ourselves with the truth of God's Word. Now, last week we were walking through Proverbs and Proverbs 30, and we got through the first six verses. And Proverbs 37 through 9 is what we call the prayer of Agar, what I said last week. After affirming God's word, the next three verses in Proverbs are this prayer, all about living in the right amount of God's truth, about living in light of God's truth, living with just enough, trusting him for our daily bread, and finding the sweet spot for our life. And if you come back next week, we're going to really dig into those three verses. We're not going to get into them here because it's a whole sermon in and of itself. At the end of the prayer, Agar is really only about a third of the way through his heavenly writing assignment. So after he gets through verse 9, he's really only about a third of the way through. Then from there, he tosses out a few lessons explaining habits we just should not be doing. So we talk about right ways for living and the things we ought to do. In the last part, or last two-thirds of his chapter, Agar is really kind of walking us through some things that we ought not to be doing. Things like slandering coworkers, things like dishonoring our parents, things like judging others while justifying our own shortcomings. You relate to any of those yet? Or looking down on the less fortunate. I think if we're honest, there's times in our life when we're all guilty of some of those things. And then he finishes Proverbs 30 with five curious lists that sound a bit from a comedian who specializes in observational humor. If you read them, you know what I'm talking about. Things like, did you ever notice? Do you ever wonder about? You know, those things that the way that comedians talk. So anyway, I want to get through these lists very quickly. And the first one is in Proverbs 30, verses 15 and 16. These really are like a reality check. Agar lists first four things on here on earth that are never satisfied. And I think if we're honest, he could add people to that list because we are rarely ever satisfied, right? But anyway, this is what it says in 15 and 16. There are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land, which is never satisfied with water, and fire, which never says enough. So what on earth is Agar trying to point out? What is he trying to get us to understand in this text? And I think what Agar is saying to each one of us is reminding us that our world is broken, that we live in a broken world. Now, I think we know that, but sometimes we need to be reminded of that. See, we had our chance at paradise in the Garden of Eden. God gave us that chance, but now we're living in a fallen world because of some poor choices. We are living in the world of is, if you will, and not in the land of ought. In other words, things are not the way they should be. We're living in the reality of how things are, but we're not living in the way things ought to be. Wouldn't it be nice if we lived the way that God intended and lived in the world of ought and not in the world of is? There are tribulations that we simply can't escape and we simply can't avoid. The first one he says here is the grave. We know that death is inevitable, but we must remember that our final destination is not yet determined. Well, for believers, our final destination is determined. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know what our final destination is. So the grave is not the end. Death is not the end for us. We only have so much time here on earth, and eternity awaits us. That is a spiritual truth. The second thing he says here is a woman who cannot bear children. This is an emotional truth. If you know a woman or couple aching for a child, you recognize the this emotional burden. There are so many hurting people around us. Lori and I, it's no secret that we have certainly lived with that same burden. The question we need to ask ourselves is, how can we bring comfort and compassion to friends, and neighbors, to strangers and families who are hurting? In other words, how can we take our own personal burden of hurt and help somebody deal with theirs? Maybe in a situation that you've already been through and helping people who are going through the same type of thing. And the third thing he says is the thirsty land, and that is a physical truth. Back in the middle school science class, you learned about the water cycle and how it never ends. It's like it never is satisfied. It never ends. Rain, plants, underground water, rivers, oceans, clouds, they all play a part in this clear example of God's organized creation that cannot be debated. And then he lists fire. It says the last item on the list is another physical reminder of God's power and provision. Fire gives light. Fire cooks our food. Fire keeps us warm. But what else can fire do? It can destroy. The properties of fire apply here on earth and for eternity. It has the power to cook, to provide for us, and it has the power also to destroy. List number two, continuing in his writings here, we find this in verses 18 and 19. And I'll call these some amazing enigmas found in verses 18 and 19. There are three things that are too amazing for me, four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a snake on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a young woman. Well, that's kind of odd, right? I told you he's kind of an interesting fellow, didn't I? His writings are a little bit unique. And that's what I like about him, though. Basically, Agar's second list confirms that God's ways are well beyond our imagination. God's ways are well beyond what we can comprehend. And that's the way it ought to be. Personally, I prefer a God who has a better handle on things than I do. And God certainly does. Because if it were left up to me to have a handle on things, I would make a mess of them. And frankly, so would any of you. God is certainly better. Things are better off letting God handle them. And Agar is saying, he lists these things. Like, Agar gives us four examples of how the creator of the universe works in ways we never understand. Like the way an eagle flies, or the way that it can catch its prey, the way that it can just is like beyond our comprehension, or how a snake moves. Now, I'm not a big, well, I don't particularly like snakes, but I can certainly appreciate the way they can slither and slide and that sort of thing. Or how about how a boat stays afloat is one of the things on the high seas. It's quite remarkable to see a ship sail the high seas and how it navigates the waters and does not sink, really. And then he talks about, this is kind of a strange one, how God designed attraction and love and romance in procreation. Again, a strange one, but if you think about it, it really does define God's creativity and God's power that he could do that. With this list, Agar reveals his appreciation for God's design when it comes to biology, when it comes to physics, and when it comes to human nature. An eagle in flight, how a snake slithers, how a boat floats. We think we're so smart because scientists today calculate buoyancy and water displacement, but we forget that God had it designed long before man. And then something that baffles every generation, men and women in relationship with one another. That certainly baffles generation after generation after generation. Right? With this amusing list, Agar reminds us of how God's designs work. They just work. We don't know how, it doesn't make sense to us, but they just do. We do not understand it, but we can certainly trust it. And then the third list that he points out or brings about in Proverbs chapter 30 is found in verses 21 through 23, and we'll call these human mistakes. Under three things, the earth trembles. Under four, it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes king. A godless fool who gets plenty to eat. A contemptible woman who gets married. And a servant who displaces her mistress. Again, we just read these words and we continue to see his interesting way of writing. But there's some really powerful truths that he's trying to get through in his writings. Agar may not be talking about a literal earthquakes here, but human mistakes can cause the relationships and kingdoms to tremble and crumble. The mistakes that we make and the way that we sometimes handle things in poor ways or inappropriate ways can certainly make relationships and kingdoms tremble and crumble and fall and collapse. He gives four examples. When someone without experience or training becomes a king. When a godless fool gets everything they want without earning their way. For example, the lottery winner or the children of self-made millionaires, if you will. Another human mistake is getting married for reasons other than love, according to Agar. It's good advice. Don't marry for the money or lust or spite. Or to escape your parents. Marry because you can't imagine living without the other person. And then last on that list is a servant who displaces her mistress. This is a warning about temptation. Remember I said these are things we ought not to do. These are things that will get us in trouble very quickly. These are things that will get us a slippery slope down the dark hole in a hurry. A warning to all married men and women to be especially careful of giving undue attention to coworkers and others around you, even if it seems like it's innocent or meaningless. That's more good advice. Innocent flirting can cause the foundation of the earth and of your marriages to crumble and to shake and to crack and to collapse. And then list number four. Found in Proverbs 30, verses 24 through 28. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it's found in the king's palaces. What the heck can we learn from these little critters? I mean, Agar continues this weird, goofy, intriguing, interesting writings, now talking about these little creatures like ants and and some of these other things, and we're like, what on earth is to be learned from an ant, right? But leave it to God, leave it to somebody like Agar to point out some spiritual truth using these little critters. How about this? That ants wisely store food from their winter for the winter. The sneaky hyrax hides in hillside crags. Locusts have no leaders, yet they spread terror and destruction quite effectively. Lizards sneak into castles. What a great image. Palace guards bumping into each other, chasing a lizard. Can you just see it? Agar might be telling us not to take ourselves too seriously and not to panic when minor details don't go our way. How quickly we oftentimes panic over circumstances or details that at the end of the day really don't add up to much, but yet create panic and chaos in our lives, right? And at the end of the day, you're going, really? I allowed that thing to get me all worked up, to give me that much anxiety? It just wasn't worth it. Or maybe the main lesson of this list is that God sees and that God cares about it all. He sees it all and he cares about it all, no matter how small it is. The big picture and the smallest details of your life, God cares about it all. And then list number 5. Agar's final list presents 4 images of those who seemingly stand tall, all of whom might be on the verge of a great fall. Those who seemingly have it all, but they're standing on the edge of their great fall. And we'll call this list the downfall of kings. There are 3 mighty things that are stately in their stride, 4 that move with stately bearing. A lion, mighty among the beasts, who retreats before nothing. A strutting rooster, a he-goat, and a king secure against revolt. If you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth, and clap your hand over your mouth. For as churning cream produces butter, and as the twisting nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. That is not the way I would have written those verses to make a point. But this is Agar, and that's how he writes. But this list is a good reminder that the earthly kingdom does not last forever. The lion, the rooster, a mountain goat, and a human king, oftentimes at some point in their life, think they are invincible. Think they are invincible. But I'm not so sure about your kingdom. But no matter how powerful you are, when you exalt yourself, actively plan evil, or stir up anger and strife is coming your way, you will be overthrown and off your throne. Let's call it a warning against destructible pride, if you will. What does Proverbs 16 say? That pride goes before destruction. 2 Corinthians says this in 10:17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Consider again Agar's 5 lists. It's a lot to take in. I mean, there was a lot of stuff in those verses. The physical world has limits. There are mysteries that we cannot understand. Humans make mistakes, small things matter, and even earthly kings need to remember that there is an ultimate authority and it's not them. We need to be reminded that there is one who has authority and it's not you, and it's not me, it's not us. It's the Lord God Almighty. And then I'm just going to close with takeaway number 6. Agar's list covers a lot of ground, as I said, but it takes us nicely to point number 6, and it is this: to anticipate God's eternity. Anticipate God's eternity. Listen, folks, we're not home yet. We are not home yet. You know, it's funny because we always say, no matter what, it seems like no matter how old we are, when we go back to the place we grew up, we're going home. At what point is where you're living home, right? Like, we'll say, you know, like Lori and I are going to Bay City today, and sometimes we'll say, we're going home. And it's like, wait a minute, is that home? I mean, have we not yet created a home for ourselves? And the answer is, well, as believers, we have not. We are not home yet. All those questions you have will be answered. All these questions, all these thoughts, all these weird things that Agar brings up will probably someday have an answer, but that answer isn't found on earth, and it's not found this side of heaven. Heaven has no limits, so keep asking the questions. Keep on asking the questions. God is not surprised. He's not stumped. He's not confused. You can't ask a question that kind of catches him off guard, so to speak. The Creator is King, and since he sees it all and knows it all, he will continue doing a much better job than anyone you know. He is far better at understanding than anyone else. So we need to anticipate God's eternity, I think, is the last takeaway that we take from Agar's writing. So this is how we'll close. What do you think of Agar? I don't know. Have you ever read his writings before? What do you think about Agar? Like I said, he's just kind of an interesting fellow with a unique way with words, for sure. There's no denying that. I mean, he's kind of like got everything that you'd ever want for in a friend, right? He makes you laugh. He makes you cry. He makes you think. He tells it like it is. We all need a friend like that, right? Who will tell you like it is, not sugarcoat it. He gives us 6 solid takeaways today, and we haven't even scratched the surface of his prayer, but we will next week. Remember, the title of the series is Living in the Sweet Spot. If we are able to apply these 6 takeaways to our own life, or at least understand the truth in them, we will set the foundation for living in that sweet spot. We will set the foundation. We won't get there, but we'll set the foundation for it. It's important to remember that his words, these lists, as quirky as they may seem, are given from a position of the authority of a prophet. He was given the authority by God to speak and write these words. And so in them is a foundation for what we need to live life in the sweet spot. And then once these foundations are under, or these lists, these takeaways are understood and applied to our life, and that foundation has been set in our lives, then we can enter in the sweet spot by understanding his prayer that we'll dive into next week. So if you want to live in the sweet spot, if you want to live in God's sweet spot, if you want to live in the purpose that God has intended you to live, then we need to take these takeaways and we need to understand them and we need to begin to apply them to our lives to set the foundation for what will actually get us there. And that's what we'll look at next week. And this is what it says in Proverbs 30, verse 8, which will be the core of what we'll talk about next week. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Make that your prayer this week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for those that you gave the authority to speak and write your word. Some more eloquently than others, and others like Agar who kind of say it in a quirky, odd kind of way. But Lord, we recognize this morning that you gave the authority to Agar to write these words, so we would do well to apply them and understand them to our lives. Lord, I believe it's the desire for each one of us to live according to your purpose for our lives, to kind of live in that sweet spot, so to speak. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage each one of us to reread Proverbs 30 again and take away these things and apply them to our lives. So, Lord, that we can begin to set the foundation for what it might look like to really live in that place that you desire us to live, the place of contentment where we have just the right amount. And Lord, we look forward to with anticipation of next week when we really get there to see what it takes to live in that sweet spot. We ask all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.